Hello, friends, and welcome back to the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place, and I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better and happier place. I wanted to tell everyone I have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides. If you'd like to get in touch with your spirit guides and angels, please call me at 509-750-9793 here in the United States, or you can send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. I also wanted to say that my next Galactic Wisdom Conference will be held at the same location in Olympia, Washington, in the United States from April 12th to the 16th, 2019. And for more information, please see our website at www.galacticwisdomconference.com. There is a substantial discount of only $55 for the entire conference if you register early. For details, please send me an email or give me a call. In addition, this summer, from July 2nd to the 8th and September 6th to the 11th, 2018, I'll be taking a group of people to Mount Shasta, Telos, and the Hollow Earth. I've been sponsoring trips to Mount Shasta, Telos, and the Hollow Earth for several years, and this is a fantastic opportunity for people to visit Telos and the Hollow Earth if you'd like to go. However, you should follow certain spiritual protocols to gain entry, and if you're interested, please email me or call me. My email, again, is outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, and my phone number in the United States is 509-750-9793. And with that, I'd like to continue with David Icke's interview from England.
One of the things that comes to my mind as you're speaking now, and this is just fascinating for me to listen to, and I know all my listeners will really enjoy what you have to say, is what are they leaving out? For example, you know there's cures out there for cancer, but yet we never hear about them. They're suppressed. I have a friend of mine named Tom Palladino who does wonderful what he calls scalar energy work and actually healing people with his special vibratory machines for free. Gets rid of AIDS, gets rid of HIV. There's the Emoto office in Tokyo, Michiko Hayashi. They use Haro machines which adjust people's vibration to help them with any physical or spiritual condition. Yet we never hear this in the mainstream media. I know there's lots of different cures out there for different health conditions and raising consciousness, but they try to stop us.
Well, I mean, you know, don't stop me, really. I mean, this goes into so many different areas. But first of all, you don't want a sharp thinking, emotionally balanced, physically healthy target population, because you don't want people, for a start, thinking sharply. And if you can destabilize the electromagnetic chemical organism we call the body, and therefore suppress and dilute and distort its information processing capabilities, then the chances of people thinking and perceiving in an expanded way enough to see what's really going on is very much diminished. And you look at what is emphasized, and you look at what is suppressed, and that tells you what the agenda is and what the agenda wants. So, what do you have? You have the big pharmaceutical cartel and all its wares, its potions and poisons, being freely advertised. I'm always taken aback in America when I go there and I see the domination of television advertising of the pharmaceutical industry, and I see drugs advertised where much of the advertisement is telling you what it will do to you, will do for you, and how wonderful it is, and then some breathless voice, increasingly from my experience, over pictures that are designed to take your attention from what is being said, some breathless voice kicks in at the end and lists all the side effects. And of course, they're not. There's nothing side about the effects at all. Right. It's like, oh, this is the effect. This is why we want to sell you the drug. But these are the side effects. But they're only side. No, they're not. They're effects. They're as much effects as the effect you're selling me.
And in the videos accompanying these drug ads, David, in the United States, they show people happy, going through a flower fields, having a wonderful day, taking all these drugs, which the announcer at the end often says it may cause cancer or death.
Yeah, exactly. Now, the point I'm making is they can say what they bloody like, basically. Why? Because that suits the agenda for the suppression, mentally, emotionally, and physically, of humanity. But then you look, and I know because I've got a great friend who's a real cutting-edge healer, a guy called Mike Lambert, Shen Clinic on the Isle of Wight, about 5 minutes from me. Man's a genius in the area of healing. He can't say anything. He has a supplement that he produces called Spirovine, S-P-E-R-O-Vine, Spirovine. And it comes from not the grape, the fruit of the vine, it comes from the wood of the vine. And of course, the wood of the vine is what distributes nutrition to the fruit. So it's in the wood of the vine that all the nutrition is, not in the fruit. And mainstream laboratory studies have shown its effect in suppressing cancer and other things. I know, he can't tell you this, but I know that it's had a tremendous effect on a lot of people. I take 6 of these Spirovine a day, and I have done for years. But if you said to Mike Lambert, what would Spirovine do for me? He couldn't tell you. He couldn't even tell you about the mainstream laboratory studies that have shown the effectiveness of it. Studies in Germany, in France, in China. Mm-hmm. Because the laws have been changed to the point where, you know, you say to a complementary or alternative practitioner, what will that do for me? And he'll say, or she'll say, well, I can't tell you, because I'd be breaking the law if I did, even though I have endless evidence to show what it does. Now, when you have an unfairness of that scale, then obviously it's not done by chance or random accident. It's done by design. And because there's many elements to this. A, they don't want this healthy population, but there's something else. I've had this phrase, which I've used for decades, called defend the first domino. You know when they line dominoes up right across a room, and then they push the first domino, and the first domino knocks the second and the third and the fourth, and eventually all the dominoes go down. Defending the first domino from their point of view is very, very important. And the first domino basically is this world is all there is. Everything is physical. Everything is apart from everything else. Nothing's connected. And the body is just a biological, chemical organism. Life's a bitch and then you die. Because in my life, I've had, like, you know, other people have, I've had so many experiences that have put me in front of information. Some experiences that you, on the face of it, you'd rather not happen, but they lead to, you know, greater understanding as a result. And I was a professional footballer, and I got rheumatoid arthritis in the left knee at the age of 15. And I was told not to play again, and I decided I was going to play again. But of course, what the medical profession did was give me a prescription for something called Indocid. I think it was called Indocid. It's a painkiller, right? Mm-hmm. And I am, what would I be? 16, 17 years of age. Mm-hmm. And I said to them, will that cure the arthritis? They said, no, just take the pain away. So something in me, even at that age, said, well, what's he going to do to my body?
Yeah.
So I never took any of them.
Good for you.
And I decided I was going to look for other ways. And it just so happened that I was living in a place at Coventry, the football club I played for at the time. And just down the road was another little town called Kenilworth. And who should live there but the man that brought acupuncture into Britain, in effect, a man called Professor Arthur Wordsley, who is very well known in the world acupuncture circles because of his pioneering work. And I contacted him because somebody told me, well, why don't you try acupuncture? And it's like, acupuncture? I know. I've kind of heard of it, but. And so I went to see Arthur Wordsley, and it was so new. He didn't even have his own clinic or anything. He was practicing in his front room. Anyway, he's putting these needles in me legs. So, what's the first domino? How does this work? Mm-hmm. Right? Okay. Well, the body is not really what it seems. It's an energetic entity, right? Mm-hmm. Second domino's gone. Third domino's gone. Now I'm thinking, now I'm starting to think, well, actually, what else don't I know? What else am I not aware of? And suddenly the dominoes fall, and as you go down that road, and, mm-hmm. and a whole new understanding of reality and the nature of health, mm-hmm. the nature of the energetic, vibratory nature of the body, mm-hmm. The electromagnetic nature of the body, etc., that vista opens.
Wow.
But if you don't knock the first domino down, then none of that happens. Mm-hmm. So alternative methods of healing, when you ask how do they work, mm-hmm. Is not a question that the system wants the population asking because of where it's bound to lead. For instance, and I've found that even many people in alternative healing don't realize this, that the body is a hologram. Hmm. And one of the, like the whole of our so-called physical reality is a hologram, illusory physical. And one of the great characteristics of a hologram is that every part of the hologram is a smaller version of the whole. Mm-hmm. So if you get a holographic print, mm-hmm. And you cut it into four pieces and you fire the laser at one of the quarter pieces, you won't get a quarter of the picture, of the whole picture. You'll get a quarter-sized version of the whole picture. Mm-hmm. It won't be have the clarity of the whole, but it will still have the same information. Mm-hmm. This is how holograms work. Mm-hmm. So reflexology, where they find different parts of the feet and the hands and the ears, same with acupuncture, that affect different organs and parts of the body, mm-hmm. that is simply the hologram at work. Mm-hmm. Someone palm reading, those that can actually do it as opposed to those that say they can, mm-hmm. they can read from the palm the information encoded in the old body. Mm-hmm. It's what the lifelines and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. It's a smaller version of the whole hologram. This is how it works.
Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, and so if I go into see Mike Lambert, he'll say, let me have a look at your tongue, and he'll be able to tell me virtually everything that I'm feeling from my tongue. Why? My tongue is a smaller version of the whole hologram, therefore has encoded in it all the information of the whole body and its current state. Mm-hmm. Same with the iris. People read the iris of the eyes. It's because it's a hologram. That's why that all works.
I had an iris reader at my last conference, and yeah. She was amazing. She would look at my eyes and tell me everything about me.
Yeah, well, the reason they can do that is because every part of the body contains the information makeup of the whole body. That's why you can read the whole body's state of health from the tongue, from the eyes, from the ear, from the foot. This is how it's possible. It's ever so simple.
Yeah. My friend Tom Palladino reads it from a single photograph.
Yeah.
And Michiko Hayashi with her Hado machines does it with a picture or a handprint.
But a picture, we look at pictures and we say, yeah, it's a picture of a person. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it's a picture of the person on one level, but it contains the energetic information of the person on another. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you a quick story. When my mother died, quite a time along now, ago now, I'd never seen a dead body up to that point. It just hadn't happened in my life. And on the morning of the funeral, I went into the funeral parlor, and my mother was laid out on the slab. And next to her was a big blown-up picture. I've got a copy of it at home, actually. A big blown-up picture of my mother smiling, mm-hmm. and full of life. Which was going to be put next to the coffin during the funeral. Mm-hmm. And I put my hand on my mother's hand, and it was absolute stone cold. Mm-hmm. There was no life in that body whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And as I did it, I looked across at the picture. The picture was full of life. Mm. The life that was in that picture, but wasn't in my mother's body.
Huh, wow.
That's who we are.
That's true.
That's who we are. And pictures pick it up, and that's why you can read from a picture mm-hmm. the health of somebody.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating. What kinds of traditional medicine, traditional doctors listening to this, I think many of them want to do a good job and help people heal. But unfortunately, I think they're rather limited, and I think medical schools, certainly in the United States and Great Britain and other countries, need to open up to these other healing modalities.
Well, they do, but they won't, and they won't because they're controlled by the system. Who controls the medical schools? The pharmaceutical industry.
Right.
The pharmaceutical industry wants you to believe that the scalpel and the drug is the only way of dealing with anything, when it's usually the last way to deal with anything and absolute last resort. Mm-hmm. But look at a doctor around the world. Okay, mm-hmm. they were born to parents that gave them a certain perception of reality, which the parents had downloaded. They went through school and college and university, where the system gave them a download of the postage stamp version of normal. Mm-hmm. Then they go off into their medical school, and the medical school gives them a version of the body, the nature of the body, and the nature of how to, quote, heal the body, that is so narrow, distorted, and much of it utter Stone Age nonsense that... that becomes their perceived normal. Mm-hmm. So when they go out into their hospitals or their surgeries, if your only tool is a hammer, every problem looks like a nail. Mm-hmm. Thus, everything is the scalpel or the drug. Ah. Mrs. Brown, Mr. Brown, there's nothing we can do. You've got 6 months to live. And you know why there's nothing you can do? Because you don't perceive there's anything you can do, because you don't understand the nature of the body nor the nature of reality. Mm-hmm. So when you see from that concrete programmed perception of health and disease, you hear of alternative practitioners putting hair-like needles into people, which is, of course, manipulating the flow of energy, which is what? Information passing around the body. What's the first thing that happens when the flow of information around a computer is not optimum? Hmm. You see it on the screen, don't you? Mm-hmm. My computer's so slow today. What's wrong? I'm banging this mouse. Nothing's happening. What's going on with my computer? Mm-hmm. And if the information's not passing around the body in the form of energy flows, like through the meridian lines of acupuncture, etc., at an optimum speed, in an optimum way, you're going to see the effect on your screen, which is your health. Mm-hmm.
Good example.
But when a doctor, from that concrete programmed version of health, the body and everything, mm-hmm. hears about someone putting needles in the body to affect the flow of energy, when they talk about people finding places on the foot and the arm and the ear that can naturally treat the whole body, mm-hmm. When they hear about people working on the energetic information field level of the body through hands-on healing and stuff like that, to them, that's just madness. Mm-hmm. You know, because how can you accept the effect of treatments that work on the energetic information level of the body when your entire medical life you have been told there is no energetic information field of the body?
Mm. Right.
So this is the way science works, mm-hmm. what we call science, not scientific at all, and it's the way medicine works. If I can't understand how it works, it cannot work. That's mm-hmm. the thought process. Mm-hmm. So I can understand why doctors are so limited, but also those doctors, and there are some, who are starting to see through the smoke screens, mm-hmm. They get struck off if they start treating patients in ways that work but are not from the scalpel and drug manual. Mm-hmm. So you can see you've got the pressure to conform to pharmaceutical-controlled medicine mm-hmm. To preserve your career. And if you go into the alternative arena, then the attacks and on that now are becoming hysterical. And thus, you know, you've got so many doctors who they must know that a lot of them do, I know, they know what they're doing is no good. But they do it anyway because it's the way they pay the mortgage. In fact, you know, right. I know alternative practitioners mm-hmm. to whom oncologists go when they get cancer. Hmm. They will not have the treatment they prescribe for other people because they know it's crap and nonsense and counterproductive. What stops you getting cancer more than anything else? A strong immune system. Mm-hmm. What does chemotherapy and radiation destroy and undermine?
Your immune system.
Exactly. I mean, it's madness.
Yeah,
it's madness.
In the United States, I believe chemotherapy has a 3% success rate. 3%. And didn't it come from Adolf Hitler and the Nazis in concentration camps?
Well, wherever it came from, it was described by one doctor in England as weed killer. I mean, what does it do? Yeah. It destroys the immune system.
Right.
But then again, you look at what we eat, what we drink, it's all targeting the immune system. Mm-hmm. And of course, this highly increased, fantastic increase in atmospheric radiation is also, of course, massively affecting the immune system, 5G, all of it. So there is a pattern here, and people need to see it if they're going to see the picture and not just the pixels. That the system wants them to keep apart.
David, you wrote a wonderful book back in 1990 called, I believe it was called Truth Vibrations. And that was based, 1990, about the truth coming to the surface.
Yeah.
And one of the things that Dr. Emoto found out discovered as a scientist in Japan before he passed away in 2014 is that we are all hato, we are all vibrations. And the planet itself is rising in its vibrations now. And that's one of the reasons why he started the Modal Peace Project, which is to teach children, young children, love and gratitude, so that when they become older that they'll want to create a world based on love and gratitude rather than conflict. And that's also the foundation for their Hado machine vibrations and also Tom Palladino scalar healing, too, of vibrations. I look at the vibrations of this planet going higher inevitably. It's our destiny to become a much better and happier planet. And your interview today, David, I think more than anything else, has empowered people to stand up and resist these negative forces who want to turn us back to the Stone Age.
Yeah, but not even to resist, because, you know, resistance tends to create a polarity exchange with that which you're resisting. Not to resist, just cease to cooperate with it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what I was told when my head exploded in 1990, and I met some psychics in those early days, only one by deciding to go to see her, the others just came into my life synchronistically. And there was a theme, and the theme was that there was a vibrational change coming, that I was going to be part of communicating, that I was going to go out in the world and reveal great secrets, and none of which I'd ever thought about before then, and that this vibrational change was going to have the effect of waking humanity up from its coma. Mm-hmm. The ones that were most awake would be affected first, and then more and more deeply perceptually programmed people would be affected. It's exactly what I'm seeing, although there was no sign of it when I was told. And that all that had been hidden from us was going to be brought to the surface where we could see it. Now, again, in 1990, there was no evidence of that whatsoever, but look at it now. Right. Look at what we know now that we didn't know in 1990, in terms of what's been happening in the shadows all along. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't surprise me that the frequency is going up, but you see, frequencies operate within the same, quote, space as other frequencies. Mm-hmm. So radio number one frequency is operating in the same space as radio number two frequency. Mm-hmm. But you get radio one when you tune your dial to radio one, you get radio two when you tune your dial to radio two. So it's not that frequencies replace other frequencies so much as frequencies offer an alternative perceptual state to tune into. Mm-hmm. So at the same time, and I've been on a world speaking tour literally all around the world since 2016, and it's ongoing. I'm continuing it this year and next, mm-hmm. And as long as it's necessary. Mm-hmm. But there's no doubt there is a vast awakening going on all over the world compared with 1990 when I started out on this journey, at least consciously on this journey anyway. But at the same time, you have this technological sub-reality being created of a very low vibrational nature, which is seeking to entice, manipulate, and assimilate the human mind into itself, not least through the connection technologically with AI. Mm-hmm. And so what I'm seeing is two things, and what I've just said kind of explains why. I'm seeing more and more people awaken to reassess their self-identity from their labels to consciousness having the experience as the labels, and looking at world events from a greater perspective, looking at reality from a much greater perspective. But at the same time, there's vast numbers of people that have been being pulled deeper and deeper into the illusion, into the low frequency states of perception. So it's a choice, and the choice is ours. And once you make that reassessment of self-identity from I am my labels to I am infinite awareness having an experience called those labels, then that expansion of perception of self-identity expands everything. Once you talk about little me, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, and you interact with the possibility and probability quantum field on the basis of little me. What are you going to manifest out of it? Little me experiences. Once you change your self-identity to I am infinite me, you start interacting with possibility and probability on the basis of that infinite me, and that becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. And suddenly your life changes. Your life ceases to be a monotonous repetition of the same thing. It becomes an adventure. It becomes something where synchronicity and coincidence suddenly start to become part of life. It's because of the you've changed, therefore what you experience must change. What were we talking about?
Okay. You were talking about people basically being powerful spiritual beings and making the right choices to create a beautiful planet at a higher vibration than, even though we have these lower frequencies on the planet, David, and AI is attempting to keep us down at a lower vibration, that we do have a choice every day, and that choice makes up for the beauty of life. We can create a beautiful and happy planet for ourselves and our children's children for the future.
We can create anything we want. I mean, we're sitting here now, we could have a massive argument. That's a choice. We've chosen not to, so we have a different experience. I mean, you take that simple one-on-one example, and you then expand that across the world, and the same principle applies. You know, countries and cultures and religions and races can all see that we are all different, unique expressions of the same one consciousness, the same all possibility experiencing itself. Mm-hmm. Or we can perceive that we're all apart from everyone else, and we must impose our will on everyone else. Our religion must become everyone else's religion. If anyone else has a different religion, they're wrong. If they have no religion, they're really wrong. Everyone must believe in the same things we believe in. This is the arrogance, arrogance and ignorance, they usually come as a pair. The arrogance and ignorance of the idea that what one person thinks and believes and feels must be everyone else's reality. It's nonsense. And we've got to start being at peace with other people having different opinions to us. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, the very fact that that could be seen as a problem shows how far we've fallen, really. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there is a mentality out there, which it seems to me came out of California, which has been given the name progressive, which for me is not progressive at all. It's regressive. And this really does have to find the humility to look itself in the mirror and realize that it is everything it's railing against, because this process of preventing people having different opinions and opinions that someone doesn't like is a major driver of this deletion of free expression, which is the deletion of the free flow of information, and creates this this expansion of what is happening in Silicon Valley. What they're doing in Silicon Valley, as we've discussed already, is deleting information that the system doesn't want people to have access to. But what is political correctness doing? It's deleting information that the system doesn't want people to have access to. And who is driving political correctness, this progressive mentality that calls itself liberal? Mm-hmm. Now, talked about for a long time is the inversion of human society, where things that appear to be one thing are actually the opposite. And there's no greater example of that currently than this progressive mentality, because I hear all the time on American television, which I watch on the internet, people talking about liberals say this and liberals say that. And it's interchanged with the word progressive, but liberal means that you stand for the free flow of information, you stand for the freedom of expression, freedom of opinion, freedom of lifestyle, and such like. And this progressive mentality, which has now hijacked the so-called liberal left, not least in America, but increasingly in Britain as well, is actually the opposite of liberal by that definition. It's seeking to destroy diversity of opinion. Another wonderful inversion is that this progressive mentality goes on about the need for diversity while at the same time destroying it. Mm-hmm. You can't say that. Oh, well, I thought you were in favor of diversity. Oh, yeah, but not that diversity. Oh, right, only your diversity, right? Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, if you don't believe what I believe, you must be wrong. That's the idea. That's the mentality. It's like I say, this extraordinary amalgamation of arrogance and ignorance, mm-hmm. or the arrogance of ignorance, as I call it. Mm-hmm. And it rails against fascism. It calls itself anti-fascist while acting like the fascists act. Mm-hmm. If you look at the Nazis and any tyranny, but let's take the Nazis as an example, mm-hmm. they want to destroy any narrative that is challenging theirs and giving an alternative view. They only want their narrative to circulate. This is what Nazis do. It's what all tyrannies do. Communist Russia did. It's got communist Soviet Union. And if someone can tell me the real difference in terms of the effect on people of the between communism and fascism, I'd love someone to explain it to me, because they never have yet. They're just different names for the same tyrannical imposition. And so that's what Nazis do. They burn the books. They break up public meetings. They stop people having a public vehicle, right, to speak about what they don't want people to hear. What are progressives doing?
Same thing.
Same thing in Berkeley and these other colleges that have been universities that have been completely hijacked by this progressive mentality. They have done exactly what Nazis do. They want to stop people speaking they don't agree with. They want to stop people having opinions they don't agree with. And we have this organization called Antifa or anti-fascism, anti-fascist, mm-hmm. that operates precisely as fascists operate. So we really do have to have the backbone to look this progressive fascism in the eye and call it out for what it is, the exact opposite of liberal. I mean, you know, by that definition, I would consider myself liberal. I want the freedom of expression, freedom of opinion, even those I don't agree with. I want that. That's liberal. The progressive mentality wants the opposite of that. And what we're seeing is an amalgamation of the will of the 1%, mm-hmm. in terms of changes in human society and control of information. The will of the 1% fusing with that which claims to oppose the 1%. Mm. But yet they're both pressing for things that the 1% wants to happen, which is to delete all opinion, information, and possibility that is at odds with what the 1% wants the human perception to be. So it's no accident that you have people like George Soros, the billionaire server of the agenda, being a major funder, not just in America and North America, but also in Europe, of progressive groups and progressive organizations. I mean, his Open Society foundations, which are pushing this progressive agenda, his total contribution to them so far is $32 billion. No wonder Soros has been called, in at least the title of one book, the godfather of the left. Oh, yeah. But who funds the right? Sheldon Adelson, the ultra-Zionist casino magnate, who is the owner and funder of Trump. He basically owns the right. He has been called, wait for it, the godfather of the right, or the godfather of the Republicans. So you have two people, both of which I strongly suggest are serving the same agenda, funding the left and funding the right. So is it really any surprise that we have this fusion, therefore, of the progressive Soros-funded left pushing the same agenda as the Sheldon Adelson and others-funded right, while the progressive left claim to oppose everything the right wants to do?
Wow.
That's what's happening. And it's very simple when you break it down, and you break down the personalities and the sources of funding. And what has happened is that the traditional left and the liberal left, the real, genuine liberal left, has been intimidated into silence by the progressive fascist illusion of left. And they've done it in this country. We have a major political party here, the opposition party here at the moment, called the Labour Party, which is basically the old liberal left in many ways. Not quite the same, but pretty much that way. That's been hijacked by the progressive left now, or, you know, illusion of left. And so it's happening everywhere. It's happening in Europe.
Well, I went to school at UC Berkeley back in the early to mid-70s, and I know I've been down there since, and the atmosphere has completely changed. It's been hijacked. The campus atmosphere has been hijacked.
Well, Berkeley's a wonderful example, because I remember as a child of the 60s, that's when I was a teenager, a young teenager, seeing the marches at Berkeley for freedom of speech. And now they march against it and protest against it.
Right.
Now, I say to that progressive mentality in the universities and colleges, just take a breath, step back from your own narcissism, and ask yourself why that transformation has happened. Mm-hmm. Why is it that what the old liberal left used to oppose, you are supporting? Why? What has changed?
Yeah.
Why are you doing the bidding of the very forces that the old liberal left used to oppose and march against? And realize, if you have the humility of self reassessment, realize that you have been subjected your entire life to a perceptual program that you have taken to be your own thoughts and your own perceptions, when what it is a perceptual download. Now, just take a step back, look at it again, and take back control of your own mind. Mm-hmm. And look at how you are creating the very authoritarian, undiverse world that you claim to be opposing. Mm-hmm. And if you do it with humility and honesty, then you'll realize that actually you've been played like a violin. But mm-hmm. once you go into a reassessment of how you've been used, the great news is you can stop being used. Mm-hmm. And that is essential because they are targeting the young. I say this is the most perceptually targeted young generation in history because of all the technology.
Right.
And yet, still, great numbers of young people have seen through the hoax mm-hmm. and are opening their minds to other possibilities. And that's the power of consciousness over programming mm-hmm. once people take power of their consciousness back. Sure. But if they don't, all that's left to happen, if their consciousness doesn't intervene, all that's left is for the program to play out. Mm-hmm. And ask yourself why you think like everyone else around you. Mm-hmm. Why don't you have any original thoughts? Do you mean within the great field of possibility and probability, the infinite field of possibility and probability, that you can't have a thought or a perception that's different to the people around you? I mean, by the law of averages, that should be a gimme. Mm-hmm. So why isn't it happening? Mm-hmm. Well, it's not happening for one of two reasons. Mm-hmm. Actually, two reasons, but it depends on the individual. One, you've allowed your mind to so be consumed by program perceptions that they have become your every thought and emotional response. Two, you know something's not right, but you've seen others have the consequences of speaking out against the sure. prevailing progressive norm, the fascist progressive norm, and therefore you conform anyway because you don't want the consequences.
You become a good German.
Yeah, exactly. And what I need to realize, especially the young, is that if they don't rebel now against the program, if they don't rebel now against this progressive fascism and imposition, then what the hell is the world going to be like through most of their life in all the decades to come? Because the longer this rebellion from this program is delayed, the harder it is to disconnect from it, not least once AI and the connection technologically to AI becomes real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, David, you have so much wisdom, and it's been such a gift to be with you today. We've got a few minutes left. I'd love to have you wrap up your wonderful interview with some more profound wisdom.
All right, profound wisdom. I'll turn on the tap, Mark. Profound wisdom. But you know, the other thing I would say is that, look, what we're talking about, what we're experiencing, is a tiny band of frequency. That what we can see is it's almost not even a smear of frequency called visible light, which is tiny, tiny band of frequency. It's almost laughable. Beyond what we can see, beyond this visible light, which is not a world, it's a frequency band, it's an information source, is infinity. And beyond this 70 vehicle, which focuses our attention on this tiny band of frequency, is infinity, is eternity, mm-hmm. is the eternal exploration of all that is, has been, and ever can be. Mm-hmm. So whatever our experience, however much we sometimes may not like it, every experience is temporary. Mm-hmm. Nothing's permanent. How can anything be permanent within all possibility? By its very nature, all possibility demands to be manifest, so all possibility will manifest. But the key to taking our power back is to realize that we are doing the manifesting. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, you can go on the internet, and the internet is a vast depository of information on endless websites, right? That's the internet. When you go on the internet, mm-hmm. who chooses which ones you go to and which ones you don't? Mm-hmm. We do. Mm-hmm. And that's just the same as life. Mm-hmm. We decide by our perceptions of reality what reality we will experience. It's a feedback loop. It's a feedback loop between perception and experience. If you have a perception of little me, I've got no power, that is a frequency. Everything in our reality is a frequency. Mm-hmm. So I'm little me, I have no power. I am my labels. Interacts on that frequency which it represents with possibility and probability. Within that band of frequency, within that band of possibility. So that's the kind of life you're going to manifest. They are the experiences you are going to manifest into experience. And that will basically be a life that mirrors, I have no power, I'm just little me. But when your perception becomes, I am all that is, has been, and ever can be, having this experience, then you are interacting with possibility and probability in a vastly expanded band of frequency. And therefore, what you can manifest as experience becomes consequently massively expanded. And what happens, Ted, when people go through this process of what people call awakening? And what is awakening? Mm-hmm. It's removing the programs that kept you asleep. We're always awake. We're always infinite possibility, having an experience. It's the program that, the perceptual programs that hold us in servitude to this hoax. Mm-hmm. Once you start deleting them, in what we call awakening, what happens to people? They suddenly realize that their life becomes much more synchronistic.
That's right.
People come into their lives at just the right time. How am I going to get through this? I don't know what I'm going to do. Oh, my God, look what's happened. Why? Because you are interacting with possibility and probability in a much more expanded way, so you can manifest possibility and probability that others cannot manifest, not because you're better than them, but because you're interacting with possibility and probability in a much more expanded way. So, you know, people talk about self-fulfilling prophecies. Perceptions are self-fulfilling prophecies, sure, because the perceptions become the experience of the perception.
Sure, right.
So, right. Who controls perception? We do. So through that, we can control our experience, but only if we change perception. You know, what do they say? You know, if you've always done what you've always, if you always do what you've always done, right, you'll always get what you've always got.
Right, right. And Professor Einstein has always said, too, definition of insanity is doing something over and over again and expecting different results.
Well, because of this feedback loop, you can't get a different result.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
You know?
Right. Right.
You can't.
Right. Right.
But you change perception. You change the feedback loop.
Right. Exactly.
You know, and your drum starts to beat to a different frequency, mm-hmm, and thus your life starts to beat to a different outcome.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. David, one last topic is fluoridation of the water. I know in the United States, many water supplies are fluoridated. It shuts down the pineal gland.
Yeah.
But I know that if you can drink pure water, it helps you raise your consciousness. And fluoride is basically a poison. But I know we don't have much time left, but I just wanted to mention that before.
Yeah, well, I've been on the case of fluoride for a long time, since way back in the early 90s. Mm-hmm. Basically, you know, this is the point I would make. Everything is information. Information is consciousness. And within our reality, information, depending on the information, is different frequencies. So you can look at fluoride, and you can look at toxins in the rivers, in the oceans, and you can see it in a certain way. You can see black sludge pouring out of pipes into the river. You can see fluoride in drinking water. But you go onto an energetic level, and what you would see is a very distorted, chaotic, disharmonious frequency. That's what fluoride is. Mm-hmm. That's what toxins are. Mm-hmm. And what you're introducing into your body, on one level, it appears to be a chemical substance introduced into a chemical organism. But what you're actually introducing is a frequency, energetic frequency field into an energetic frequency field. And at that frequency level, it distorts, can distort the frequency of the body. Mm-hmm. On an energetic level, which then plays out in the electrochemical level as disease and disharmony.
Interesting.
Because everything in the end is consciousness information interacting with itself. Mm-hmm. And fluoride, like all these toxins, is a very distorted negative form of information being introduced into the information field of the body. And that's where all disease and disharmony comes from. This is why, in the end, if you chart things back, most human ill health comes from an emotional source.
Interesting.
Because emotions are frequencies, mm-hmm. low vibrational emotions around fear and depression and anxiety. What have I just called them? Low frequency, low vibrational emotion. And that then impacts upon the body and it pulls its frequency down. This is why this force of manipulation wants people in low, one reason, there are many others, mm-hmm. wants people in low vibrational emotional states. So society is set up mm-hmm. to elicit maximum fear, maximum anxiety, maximum depression, maximum all these low vibrational emotions. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when people are in a depressed state, in a fearful state, in an anxious state, what do they say? I feel so heavy today.
Right.
That's the density. But when people are in a state of positivity and joy, what do they say? I feel so light today.
That's right.
Because they're in a high frequency state. Right. And that's the difference between being controlled by the system and going beyond the system's frequency prison so that you can take control of your own life and not have it dictated by this source of low vibrational negativity, which wants to assimilate you and your vibrational state into itself. The more we have joy, love, and all these high frequency states, never the twain shall meet. You know, it cannot connect with us when we're in those states. That's why it doesn't want love and joy in the world.
That's right. And that's why that with love and joy, love and gratitude, then we will not have dis-ease.
Yeah, exactly. And this is all part of the base foundation of where we're at. There is a state of distorted awareness and consciousness mm-hmm. seeking to assimilate human consciousness into itself, but it can only do it if we become the distortion that it is. Because without becoming the distortion, it cannot assimilate us. So when we stay in a state of love and harmony and joy mm-hmm. And optimism, then it cannot touch us in terms of making that frequency connection and thus the assimilation and absorption. And mm-hmm. and that's why, as I say, society's been set up to create maximum low vibrational emotional states. And we must not give into it because that's what they want. The more wars, the more suffering, the more hunger, the better from their point of view. Right. And that's why the world is as it is.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
This is why, just finally, this is why there's always money for war.
Right. Right.
There's not money for homeless people, but there's money for war, because what does war do? There's many benefits of war from their point of view, but one of the big ones is it pulls people into low vibrational states.
Yeah. Right. I couldn't agree with you more, David.
Nice talking to you, Ted.
Wonderful talking to you too, David. Have a beautiful day, and thank you again so much for sharing all this wonderful wisdom with all my listeners.
No problem.
Hello, friends. I hope you enjoyed this interview today with David Icke. He's a fascinating man. I'm so happy he could come on my radio show. To wrap up today, I want to ask everyone to meditate and say this beautiful Ho'oponopono prayer for world peace and to help clean up Fukushima. It's still a problem which has been ignored by all the world's governments and mass media. And if you can, please say this after me. Water, we're sorry. Water, please forgive us. Water, we love you, and water, we thank you. Please say it again twice more. Water, we're sorry. Water, please forgive us. Water, we love you, and water, we thank you. And one more time. Water, we're sorry. Water, please forgive us. Water, we love you, and water, we thank you. And with that, I'd like to play this beautiful Japanese water song. It's from the Emoto office in Tokyo. And I hope you all have a beautiful and really happy weekend. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening today and supporting Out of This World Radio. Together, I know we can create a much better and happier world.
Milky Way, 人は